Well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word. For those of you who don't know, we just started a real series of teachings on manifesting God's power. And we've been looking at the gift of Holy Spirit and the power that's available to us as operating that Spirit, and the power of God that was available to Jesus Christ and what He did, and the things in the book of Acts. And so today we're going to look at the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, just as a little overview. And so if you would, take your Bibles, and you're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestations are what allows us to operate the power of God. And we just heard three manifestations, speaking in tongues with interpretation, and prophecy. And there are seven others, as most of you know. And we're going to read a little bit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are manifestations, and they were operated with believers in the book of Acts, and they're operated with believers today. Are instructed and choose to do so. So verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now the first thing we're going to look at is that word in the middle, gifts. It's in italics, and as you know, in the King James Version, anytime a word was translated from the Greek to the English, which this was, if the word was not in the Greek, but they added a word in the English to make it sound, I guess, better for English as opposed to Greek, they put it in as an italicized word to let you know that that word was not in the Greek text. The reason why it's in here is that by the time this was translated, it was common understood that speaking in tongues or interpretation in tongues or prophecy or the other six manifestations, they were considered gifts. A person would have the gifts of speaking in tongues. Like for instance in chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," the word "the gift of" is in italics, was added by the translators, can be removed by us or anybody else. You're not changing the text of God's Word. But they put "the gift of" because they thought it was. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts." That word "gifts" there is also in italics. It was added by the translators, can be deleted by anyone. You do not change God's Word when you do that. And the reason is, as I said, is that by then people thought they were gifts. But when you look at the accuracy of God's Word and you study it, you find out they're not gifts. They are manifestations. And that's what we're going to look at. So back to chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual," blank. The word "spiritual" is a Greek word. Anybody know? Robert?
Pneumatikos.
And basically it means spiritual things or spiritual matters or matters of the Spirit. And that's what it means. And the reason why it says "now concerning" is because 1 Corinthians was a reproof epistle, and it goes through a lot of different issues of God's Word. It deals with marriage, it deals with foods they ate, dealt with a lot of different things. And one of the subjects was, it went over the communion process, and one of the subjects was spiritual matters. So now that's what we're into. Where it says now, okay, now about this. "Now about spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And the word "ignorant" means to be without an understanding, without a comprehension, to be dumb. Dumb in the sense that you just don't know. And God here says He doesn't want us to be without a knowledge, without an understanding concerning spiritual matters. The same word "ignorance" translated or used several other places in the Bible. We're not going to go there. But in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says that He doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep. referring to the return of Jesus Christ. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning the return of Jesus Christ. Another area was 2 Corinthians 2:11, where it says that God doesn't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He doesn't want us to be without a knowledge of what Satan does and how he operates. And another one in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, where it dealt with the error of unbelief of the Old Testament believers when they were in a wilderness and they were about to go into the promised land. And they said to God, no, even though you promised we can go in and you'll take care of us, we don't think it can happen. And they backed off and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they it was the provocation, called the provoking. And God says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of that. You don't want to provoke God by saying, having a heart of unbelief. So here, God doesn't want us being ignorant of concerning spiritual matters. It's an important thing in God's sight for us to understand. Yet how very few Christians really understand this area. So that's verse 1. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand. And there it is. God wants us to understand. Understanding is to have a comprehension, to have a knowledge of. He doesn't want us ignorant, he wants us to understand. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, which is speaking in tongues, calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. The word ghost is just an old English term for spirit. You can always translate the word ghost into the word spirit in our day and time. So that was one of the spiritual matters God wanted to understand. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Now that word gifts is not in italics. It's because it is in the text. And that's accurately supplied. Now there are, but we're going to, this is a different subject. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations or services, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now we may get tackle this these three verses another time, but basically what it's referring to, verse 4, diversities or differences of gifts. There's more than one type of gift of gift ministries. There's the gift of Holy Spirit. There's gifts of healing. And so, but it's the same Spirit involved. Like if a person has a gift ministry of an apostle, and he has the gift of Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit. It's the same, it's not two different spirits. And in verse 5 where it says there's differences of administration, I mean services, ways of serving, but it's the same Lord Jesus Christ. And the third one where there's differences of operations or ways of the power being affected, but it's the same God that energizes. And the reason why this is in here is because in that culture, they had all different gods. They had a god for, if you wanted one thing, you'd go to one god. If you wanted another god, something, you'd go to another god. And if you wanted another, you'd go to another god. Like there's the goddess, great, is the goddess of Diana, remember her? In Acts 17, or 19. She was a god of prosperity, fertility, and protection of animals. And like if you had a cow that was sick and you wanted it better, you'd pray to Diana of the Ephesians and ask for your cow to get better. You wouldn't want to milk that prayer, but
no.
But that's who you would pray to. We see that still in the Roman Catholic Church. All these different saints. There's Saint Christopher. What's he do?
He's the patron saint of traveling.
Traveling. So if you want to have a good trip, pray to Saint Christopher. There was one for losing things.
Saint Anthony.
Saint Anthony. Ooh. If you wanted to find something. Where's Anthony? So he's in charge of lost and found. So you have your catalog of gods, you figure out what you need, and you do your praying. And here it's saying, no, it's one gift, one Spirit, it's one Lord, and one God who does it all. And that was why that's in there. Verse 7. But sets in contrast to that which was before. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who?
Every man.
Every man. not a select few, but every man to profit with all. For the purpose of profit. Every born-again believer has the gift of Holy Spirit and then has the ability to operate that Spirit, to use that Spirit, to manifest that Spirit. It's to every man. That's why we know it's not a gift. Every person that has the Spirit of God in them has the ability to manifest that Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit is to benefit. It's an aid. It's a help. And it brings a benefit to us. Pretty cool. The manifest is to bring into evidence, to bring where you can see it. Nobody can see, like Ruth's got the gift of the Holy Spirit in him. Nobody can see it in him. He can take his shirt off, he still can't see it. You can look in his ears, you can look in his throat, he can do anything. You can cut his skin open and let the blood pour out. You can't see that Spirit. But he can evidence it by evidencing or manifesting it, and by way of what the Word says, which we're going to get into. And that's how we see it. So, the next three verses, give the listing of the manifestations. There are a total of 9, and this is the only place in God's Word that lists them like this. And I know God has a specific reason for everything he says. It's just a list. I don't know if anybody knows why they're listed the way they are at this point, but they are listed. So, verse 8 says, for to one, and that's referring to one prophet, for one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, referring to the prophet that's available, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith, and that's a Greek word, pistis, and it can be translated, as most of you know, believing. To another, believing by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, and again referring to another prophet, another type of prophet. to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophet, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers, or many, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit divided to every man severally as he wills. So there are 9 manifestations, and each one has a specific purpose, a specific function, a thing that it does for the individual. A certain prophet. It's really, really cool. And as we learn what they are and learn how to operate them and then do operate them, they bring a profit unto our lives. They aid us. They benefit us. They help ourselves. They help the body of Christ. So, as an analogy, I have some tools you probably noticed up here. And for those of you who do work with tools, whether it's in building or like a lot of you guys are into car repair and stuff, there are tools for every trade. There are doctors have tools. Everybody has tools, and so I've got tools too. So some of these tools were my father's, some of them were my great-grandfather's, some are mine. One was Susan's father's, and so the point is, and there's more than 9 here, is that they all have a different function. Like for instance, this is a tree saw. And this is what you would use to cut down trees or limbs. I don't use it anymore, but it is, you know, it does work. And you don't want to put your arm under this and try it out. There are more powerful saws now. There's chainsaws and power saws and all kinds of things, but that cuts down trees. This here, as you all know, is a level. And so if you want to get 2 points to be the same height, you would put it on there, or one thing to be level, and you'd get the bubble in the middle. Or if you wanted to get a burger vertical, it does it that way too. Now, there's another tool if you wanted 2 things to be level, but they're many, 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 many feet away from each other. There's this tool, and this is called the transit. And you set it up, and you get it where it's level, and then you take a shot over here, and you take a shot over there, and you can tell if they're the exact same height. It would be very difficult to get two things that are far away from each other level with this. Not impossible, but very difficult. This does it really easy. But this makes it difficult if you want something that's only that wide. This would work better. So each tool has a specific function. Like this one here is a pulley, and not used that often anymore, but you would pull things up, and it makes it a lot easier to pull them with a pulley. And if you got things that are really heavy, like cranes and things, they use multiple pulleys, and they can get something extremely heavy up real easy, just from using a series of pulleys. So you can tell this hasn't been used in a while just by the squeak. So, but that's a tool. If you want to get something up several stories up, it's a lot easier to use this than the saw. Right? Just the way it is. We have here a drill. If you wanted to drill a hole through a piece of wood, this is the old style drill. You'd put the bit in here and tighten it up, and then you'd start spinning. Now, of course, it's a lot easier. But this is an old style drill. And then, of course, the very common ones used still a lot. If you want to knock your husband over the head, this is what you use. A hammer. And it pushes nails into wood. Screws, as Max said earlier. This is a screwdriver. This is a screw turner. But you could put the nail in the wood with that, but what if you made a mistake? Which good carpenters, of course, never make mistakes. But just the chance that you might have put the nail in the wrong piece or whatever, and this is what you would use to pull it out. It's a nail puller. There's two different ends. And if you use this too often, then you ought to go into a different trade. But you would bang it in there and pull the nail out. If this is coming out of your pouch more than normal, then you know you're having a really rough day. But this tool here would be hard to get the nail out, but this tool, you get it out really easy. Everything's got a function. This is what do you call it? This is a tape measure, but this is a result of a guy named Nicodemus. He was a Jew, he was a ruler. In the book of Acts, in the Gospel, approach Jesus Christ. Right. This is a little different than what he is, but he, I think, started off. Stanley, I think, was his middle name. So this is a screwdriver. Now this was Susan's father's, and before him, I don't know, but it's a pretty cool one because it unscrews and you got a second size there. And then it has an even smaller one, which is pretty cool. They were smart back then. And then it has an even smaller one. And that's all there is. But here is a 4-in-1. You know, you get the 3-in-1 oil, this is 4-in-1 screwdriver. So, and then this is a tool that makes trim. Got a little wedge in there, and you would push it along a piece of wood that would make the curves and trim, which we have trim here. It makes different curves and things. And then this one, I say, is to the unknown God. I don't know what it is or what it does. And this is sort of like the manifestations. If you don't know how to operate the manifestation, you won't be using it. I've never used this in my life. I don't know what it does. It's some type of plane. There was a wedge that went in here. It must have cut something, but what it did and how it works, I have no idea. It's got these things that clamps down. It's like a vise. You know, this goes up and down, or something back here that tightens up something. But I don't know what it does. So, like for instance, word of knowledge. If you don't know how to operate the word of knowledge and what it does, you won't be using it. And that's what we want to change. God doesn't want us ignorant. He doesn't, like if you were a carpenter back then when these tools were around, he wouldn't want you ignorant as to how to use this. And lastly, this one here is a modern day grout puller for tile. And you, if you're gonna pull tile out of the grout out of a tile floor or a tile wall, you would use this. But secretly, this is a booger picker. So you can get it in there and hook in really well. And there's two sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The modern day booger picker. Now, if you go into a lot of tradesmen's trucks and they're not tile guys, you wonder, why is this in there?
Is that
is that a go green tool?
Yeah, this is mine. But it doesn't look too well used. So anyway, just like tools have a specific purpose, so do the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They all have different functions, and every one of them has a profit. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go through the listing of these. They break down into three groups. And the groupings are done by the basic characteristics of the nature of the manifestation. And the first group is called the utterance manifestations, or the speaking manifestations, or the, I'm trying to find my card, the worship manifestations, or the inspirational manifestations. And the reason for that is that they describe what they do. And these titles are not in God's Word. There's nowhere in God's Word you're going to find it referred to, these referred to as the utterance manifestations. These are simply done by people who have worked God's Word and found a pattern to what they do, and recognize what the nature of these manifestations are. So an utterance manifestations or speaking manifestations, and those three are speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, and prophecy. Now, with speaking in tongues, we speak. We use it in terms of worshiping God Almighty when we speak in tongues, one of the functions of speaking in tongues. Speaking, interpretation tongues is speaking or uttering. So it's easy to see why they would be called the utterance manifestations. They're also done by way of inspiration. You do not need revelation to operate speaking in tongues. You're inspired to do so. Speaking in tongues is the ability to speak in a language that you do not know. And it's designed for worship, it's designed for prayer. There's a lot of things involved, and we'll go into detail in other fellowships as to what it does. But it is the ability to speak in a language that you don't know. Interpretation in tongues is the ability to bring forth a message from God or for God in the language that you do understand, and it's an interpretation of that which you just spoke in tongues, which we heard this morning. And prophecy is the ability to speak a message from God or for God to people present in a setting like a fellowship setting. So those are the first three manifestations. The next three are in a grouping called the revelation manifestations, or the information manifestations, instructional manifestations, or knowing manifestations. And again, they are man-made definitions as far as the category, but they do describe what these next three manifestations do. I thought of this yesterday, that in light of these four names, that God reveals information to us which can be instructional to the end that we know. Now, they are instructional information. They do give us instruction. They do give us information. It is God revealing things to us. And they are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning spirits. Those are the three manifestations that are revelation manifestations, where God reveals information to a person. Word of knowledge is the ability to receive information from God. That's what it is. The ability to receive information from God. I remember the first time I heard about these things and I thought, you mean God can actually tell you something? He can actually give you information. It just shocked me that God Almighty could give you information. So my next question was, how's that happen? I wanted that stuff. But word of knowledge, word of wisdom is the ability to receive information from God as to what to do about a situation. What to do with the information you have. Sometimes that information was provided by revelation. Other times it is information you've gathered by your five senses, but you don't know what to do. God can give you word of wisdom as to what to do about the situation at hand, which is really nice. We heard in manifestations today that God would guide us by his word. Well, there comes a point where in his word, we need very specific things as to the will of God, what to do on something. God can reveal that. So, and the other one is discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits is your ability to receive information from God as to the presence or non-presence of a spirit, and whether that spirit is evil or holy. And if it is evil, whether you can cast it out. Like somebody could have a devil spirit, be possessed with a devil spirit. God can reveal to you the guy's got a devil spirit. But he may also tell you, it don't cast it out. Or he can tell you to cast it out. Or he can tell you that the person's got a Holy Spirit in them. That person's born again. It's available. God can reveal information to us at times when we need it. The last category is called the action manifestations, or the power manifestations, or the impartation manifestations, or the application manifestations. We apply those manifestations, we impart things, we use power, and they do have an action to them. That's, we'll see as we go on. And those three are faith, not that faith, although she can operate the manifestation of faith. Faith is Greek word pistis, and better translated as believing. So believing is a manifestation. Workings of miracles and gifts of healings. And believing is the ability to bring to pass the impossible at your command, according to what God has shown you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning spirits. Like when Moses and the children of Israel were coming to the Red Sea, Old Testament, we read that, and God told Moses to raise his staff and to part the Red Sea. And he could have said, well, how about a bridge? So he, at that point, got revelation, he got word of knowledge, he got word of wisdom. Now he has to operate the manifestation of believing to bring to pass the impossible according to what God had revealed to him. And that's believing. Workings of miracles. The ability to, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass miracles according to what God has shown to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning spirits. And miracles is power. It's an operation of power. So that was definitely a miracle when Moses parted the Red Sea. Pretty cool. Gifts of healing, the ability in the name of Jesus Christ by the manifestation of believing to bring to pass healing at your command according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning spirits. And that's a wonderful thing too. We certainly benefit from the manifestation of gifts of healing. And the reason why it's a gift, it's called gifts of healing, is because anytime we're healed, it is a gift. It's a gift to get healed. And if you get healed, the same thing, like bad joke disease. I get healed with that quite often. It would be gifts, plural. It's happened more than one time. Some are repeat offenders. So those are the operations. So there's speaking of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are speaking manifestations where we bring forth words. There are the revelation manifestations of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, where God gives us information to benefit our lives for a situation, whether benefit ourselves or others or what whatever. And then there are those power manifestations where we bring forth the power of God into manifestation by using the manifestation of believing, and it's going to either be a miracle or healing or both, which is pretty cool. So that's a basic overview of the manifestations. They are for a prophet. They are to every man that's born again. It's not a gift. It's not something that maybe Dane is the only one here that can speak in tongues because it's a gift. Well, we know that's not true, because more than one of us speak in tongues. But and all these manifestations can be learned. They don't come naturally. Let's put it that way. You don't just come out of the womb speaking in tongues. It's just like any of these tools. There's a certain teaching involved with what they do and how they use them. Same thing with the manifestations. What they are, what they do, how to use them. So it's wonderful. So we're just going to continue with those. And so I'll pray. Father God, thank you for your wonderful love, your goodness, and for the manifestations and for what a great prophet they are in our lives, and that we continue to grow in an understanding of them and an application of them. And that your people can walk in great power, great victory, great deliverance because of it. And we're thankful that we can use these in our daily life. And for the knowledge of your word and of the manifestations that continue to spread around the world. And also for blessing the abundant sharing and for the great principles and truths that concern that as far as prosperity and great blessings for them continuing to happen in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.